On this spooky episode of the Variety Show podcast, is bad luck real or just an excuse?
I called you a psychopath in the text message.
Yes, you called me a psychopath. I'm well aware she does actually fill me in on these things.
Tom gets his tarot read, and it's creepily accurate.
I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. That's an interesting look
the
at it.
The flip side of this is the word improvement, which is a really interesting one to place there. Because, yeah, right now you are working on doing what you can do to improve.
Rob and Tom relive their recent ghost hunt experience.
Because I then stood up because I heard Sudo walking behind me. So I turn round and they then nod their head back behind me and go, that light just came on.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Variety Show. And I'm still not doing the two men thing. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Tom.
Today we are being spooky.
Enough of that, because I'm going to end up going...
Yeah, it's July.
The back of my voice. Yeah, it is July. It's not Halloween. Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad at all. What have you watched this week? Anything exciting?
Ooh, we've been watching more Supernatural.
Ooh.
As people would know if they listened to the Untitled Trick Show. Yeah, lots more Supernatural. I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah. You said it was being frustrating.
Yes, it was being frustrating.
Why was it being frustrating?
So I cheated.
Oh, fuck off. Don't say that.
No, I didn't cheat. I looked at a lot of YouTube videos to say, find out what I was doing wrong, basically.
And this was just to get out the character creator.
Yeah, this was getting out the character. Well, like, which character I should use as a beginner, someone who's never really played a Souls game.
Right, you know, okay.
What kind of weapon should I really be going for? What stats I should be trying to do? A few locations of some better weapons for beginners, like really early on. So I've got quite a good sword.
Okay.
That you wouldn't normally get early on. You still have to kill a boss for it, but it would have taken me a while to find that and know it was there, you know. So I looked at some YouTube videos for like that.
Oh, fair enough. On my side, Exploding Kittens is on Netflix now. Do you know what Exploding Kittens is?
Isn't it like a game?
It was a game made by someone called The Oatmeal. And The Oatmeal did lots of funny cartoon kind of cartoon strips. Mm-hmm. And he's got some of my favorite ones. He does an entire like web panel about the mantis shrimp.
Okay.
And how awesome it is. And then he's done an entire one about Gene Roddenberry from Star Trek, which is brilliant. And then he's done one about how his house burnt down and they lost a lot of their cats, but one made its way back. And it has me in tears nearly every time. Mm. He's just what he's created is brilliant. And now they've basically brought Exploding Kittens to TV. And it's the story. God is basically not well thought of up in heaven anymore. He's kind of let himself go and doesn't really care. So all of the board of directors of heaven have said, you need to get reacquainted with humans. So they send him back down to earth as a cat. And at the same time, hell aren't exactly happy with Satan anymore, or the spawn of Satan. They're like, well, heaven's done that, so we're going to do the same to you. So it's about God versus Satan on earth as cats. And it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I have laughed so hard watching. It's just, it's stupid. I'm not going to lie. It's stupid, but it's brilliant. I don't know who Tom Ellis is. He's an actor, apparently. He has the voice for God, and his voice is so creamy and smooth, and it's amazing, and it just fits the role perfectly, as does Satan's voice.
God, I recognise that name, Tom Ellis. Here we go. Look, we've already got the IMDb
app. Yeah, IMDb going.
How long have we been on the episode today? Tom Ellis? It's Lucifer. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's why he's got
That's
such a creamy, dreamy
name.
Voice.
Yeah.
And he just, it fits the voice of Godcat perfectly. So honestly, get what I did there? Perfectly.
Perfectly.
Not intentionally, of course, but there you go. So I've been watching that. And obviously, there's one other amazing thing that's come out, and that's called The Lightly Used Podcast.
Yes.
And I'm going to insert the advert here.
Lightly Used with Adam and Karen.
Oh, my ears are poking out.
No, you've got really quite petite ears, actually. I've never noticed until you just pointed it out. That's really funny.
Oh, my God. still, it was good to see those two on speaking terms again. Things turned sour between them after an incident in the Guardsman in the early 90s over a baby sham and questionable sartorial choices.
It's got to be an easier way to play this game. This is even the beginner level.
Pew, 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 pew.
Oh, well,
oh, hang on a minute. Glamour, suspenders, stockings. Is that a man?
It's opening on the interesting pages. It's opening on the underwear pages.
Visit nightlyused.co.uk for more.
Pointed at a rainbow, painted a bedroom purple. How about letting a black cat pass in front of you? It's time to talk bad luck.
So, a couple of weeks ago, you told me off about opening a packet of sweets from the bottom.
Upside down.
Upside down. And you gave it a name. What did you call that?
It was upside down bad luck.
Upside down bad luck.
Yeah.
And then you had the nerve to tell my wife, who then...
I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you. She listened.
She listened. Yeah, exactly. You told my wife by recording on this goddamn microphone and she heard. And you know what? I walk into the kitchen that day and I get told upside down bad luck is a real thing. I had to text her. And she apparently had a text with you.
She did text me. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not impressed.
I called you a psychopath in the text message.
Yes, you called me a psychopath. I'm well aware she does actually fill me in on these things. Yeah, so I'm sorry, it's bollocks. Where on earth did you find out about upside down, reverse, or whatever you want to call it, bad luck?
I did not find it out anywhere. I don't have OCD. It's just one of those little things that I have. I have to open things the right way around, do things a certain way. And packets of crisps and that, I always had to open them up the right way around. I've just always done it. No one's ever gone to me, oh, it's bad luck, it's bad luck. It's just something I just decided to start saying. And it happens to be a thing that a lot of people say, that it's bad luck. But do I think it's actually bad luck? Not really. I just think it's mental. I don't understand how you would not open it the right way up. Opening it upside down.
Right, okay, look. I have a... I've just tried to search and instead it's come back as, why is placing bread upside down considered bad luck in France? Who knows?
How do you put bread upside down?
Who knows?
What's right way up?
I don't know. If it's a slice of bread, it's got two sides. The wrong way is sticking it on its thinnest edge instead.
I suppose the top crust is kind of rounded.
Possibly.
Be upside down.
I have got a reason I open things from the bottom. Okay? And there's...
Yeah, I know what it is. It's bullshit.
It's, oh,
you
right.
Want the crumbs.
That's it. I'm fast-forwarding Elden Rings. If I haven't, something bad happens to me. Right, no. You get a packet of Haribo sweets, okay? And we can all picture Haribo. I'm sure we can all picture Haribo. And at the top, you've got the thicker heat seal, don't you? And it's got the little bit that they put a hole in so you can put it on the shelves, yeah?
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, it's got a thin heat seal.
Mm-hmm.
And I find... a lot of the time, you open it at the top, and it's either much harder to open, or there's if it is a hard open, it's then more likely to then split down the side, and you end up sending shit everywhere, or it rips down the side of the packet, and then you've got to kind of do that weird holding it at an angle in your hand to get in, because it's now ripped across the top, and it's ripped across down the side. I find that happens more often, opening it when you've got that thick heat seal at the top, so the easy way around it. If it's upside down, you open it on the small heat seal and it opens perfectly every time. That's why I do it. When it comes to crisps, okay, it's just whatever side they are in my hand. If I take it out of the bag, I don't look. It's just open it because I need to nom it. Not, I don't care about it opening.
It sounds like bedlam in your brain that you'll just pick up a packet of crisps and not even look at it and just open it.
Absolutely. I know what they look like from a distance. Like, oh, that's a pack of Frazzles. That's a bag of Monster Munch.
Yeah, but to not even just glance at it and go, is this the right way around?
But why does it matter?
Because you just open it at the top.
No, it doesn't matter. An upside down bag of pickled onion Monster Munch is still going to taste like pickled onion Monster Munch opened from the bottom.
How many things have you opened upside down?
everything I can from now.
And you've never had bad luck? Because I think it's just going to be welling up inside you in any moment that bad luck is going to come and get you.
Oh no, come and get me, upside down bad luck. I'm going to be walking down and it jumps out from behind the dark corner and fuck you!
Yeah.
No, fuck you.
What's the face of bad luck?
I could just say my ex, but no. one that's fallen out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way
down. It's a
really
ugly face.
It's a really ugly face. Mm. One that not even a mother then can love.
I think it would be a kind of homunculus character made of packets of crisps and they're all upside down.
Well, that would be for you, absolutely, because apparently it scares you opening a bag of crisps or sweets upside down. It must be terrifying living your life.
I'm not scared of it.
That kid's opened that bag of crisps upside down. What do you do?
I know.
Smash him in the face?
No, no. If I saw a kid with a packet of crisps upside down and say, your parents have failed you, that's what I would say.
Now, I can imagine what you'd do. You'd go over to them and say, oh, you're meant to open it from the other top. And then you'd laugh at them as they turn it around going, why do I open from the top? And all their crisps.
What do you think of me? I'm going to go up to random kids and talk to them about their crisps being upside down.
Well, I know
down.
You steal their candy.
Well, you know. Got to get them in the van then, somehow.
You ruined it. I was going to say, because then I know the dogs steal your candy.
Yeah, well, they do.
I know they do.
They steal everything.
Jesus. Right, look, moving away from upside down bad luck, which is confirmed on this podcast to be bullshit. Mm. Until something bad happens to me, and when it does, I'll have on my grave, upside down bad luck finally got
me. I'm sorry, Rob. Upside down bad luck is real.
And sod's law, they'll bury me upside down.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, what other sorts of bad luck do you know? Or do you believe in any sort of bad luck?
I don't actually. I believe in karma.
Okay, karma's so slightly different.
I think
though.
That's different. You know, I use the term bad luck for upside down bad luck because it's just, I don't like them being opened upside down. Do I believe in bad luck? No. I just think you do good things, good energy, good things happen. Bad things, bad, you know, things can happen that are classified as, that's bad luck. Well, no, it's just something that's happened that you didn't like to happen. It's, you know, I don't know, you stand in some dog shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Condom splitting?
Bad luck. You know,
I would say that would be more bad luck.
Yeah, that's a lot of bad luck.
Let's face it. I don't think that's going to be anything to do with energy, except for the amount of energy you were putting into it.
I don't believe, condom one isn't a good example because you probably could have made sure that you were, your condom was in date. But like, what could you have done to prevent yourself standing in shit? Maybe looked where you were going a bit better. You know, it's not like that poo was put there specifically to go on your foot. Does that make sense?
It does, unless your neighbour doesn't like you and they have a dog. Have you ever considered that, by the way?
Well,
you
I've
have
two dogs.
You have an unlimited supply of dog poo.
Well, I have a limited supply of dog poo per day.
Yeah, but they're not going to stop
I have a better supply of dog poo than you have a better supply of dog poo.
If we can absolutely. Have I'd have to just revert to using child shit.
The supply chain of poo at my house is greater than yours.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, what bad luck do you know? Well, whether you believe it or not, what are the bad luck things you know about?
Walking underneath a ladder.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one.
A black cat walking in front of you, supposedly.
Oh, yes, crossing one's path, yeah, good.
Well, they say stepping on a crack is one, but that's like
breaking
your
mother's back.
Yeah. Walking across three drains.
I'm so glad you brought that up because no other fucker knows that.
Yeah, two drains are good luck, three drains
two
are bad.
Two for good luck,
but
three
you know
for bad luck.
Why I say it's bad luck? Because I don't trust the middle one. Because it's not got as much of the concrete surrounding it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So
okay.
I think that's the one you're going to fall in, the middle one. What else is
number
bad?
Number 13's an obvious.
Well, that's my lucky number, though. You say lucky, that's the number I pick for everything.
Oh, okay. 39 is another number. There's loads of numbers. 666.
39?
Yeah. There's all sorts of numbers based on countries. So that's always good. Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Chain letters. Remember the day when you used to get a chain email to your Hotmail account?
Oh, yeah. I must have supposedly been killed or my lover, my crush will never fall in love with
me.
Yeah.
And then it turned into Facebook chain messages, didn't it? Whereas. Yeah. Your palm will be crossed with gold if you forward this onto your top 10 friends within 5 minutes.
I went for a stage that if it was a friend who emailed me one of those chains, I'd say to them, don't send me this again. And if I got another one, I'd block them.
Nice.
So I just never got them anymore.
No, fair enough.
Same with MSN Messenger. You'd get them on MSN. They'd get these stupid emoticon things come through and go, you need to forward this to however many people. And like, right, you're blocked.
Well, we've talked about bad luck. Now I want to see how good you are at identifying bad luck things. Okay. So I have 10 bad luck items, and they're either marked as real or they've been made up by my brain.
Okay.
And you need to just tell me, is it real or is it fake? If you want, you can have a go at naming the country as well.
Oh, sorry.
There's no bonus points for it, but...
So it's from around the world. Sorry.
From around the world.
Okay, right.
So the first one I need to know is real or fake. Avoid sleeping with your head to the north.
Avoid sleeping with your head to the north?
Yes, avoid sleeping with your head to the north.
Yeah, go on. I reckon that's probably bad luck for somebody.
So you think that one's real?
Yeah, why okay. not? I don't know who from.
Fine. Okay, the next one. I'm going to give you the results at the end.
Okay.
An owl in your house brings death.
It'd bring a lot of mess.
I thought you were going to say meth.
No, I think you've kind of twisted something else. I think it's a different animal and you've just wrote owl or something.
So I'm going to put fake for that one. Okay. Knitting outside can prolong winter.
There's people doing a lot of knitting in this country right now. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, is that real or
fake? Yeah, why not?
Real, okay. Cracking an egg while laughing will sour the food.
Well, I know it's not true because I do eggs every morning and I'm constantly laughing. So I know it's not true.
Die, you chicken like, fetus that's not been fertilised.
Yeah, you never had a chance to live. No.
Okay, does that mean false?
False, sorry.
Right, okay, fake. Okay. Naming your firstborn child before birth will make them meek.
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 I'm going to say yes, because meek isn't a word you use.
Okay. I like this next one. Don't play with yo-yos as they will cause drought.
Well, that's dumb, isn't it?
These are all dumb. I'm sorry if that offends you, but fuck me.
That's false.
Okay, false.
You made it up.
Bananas on a boat will lead to fish not biting.
I reckon that's a real one.
Okay. Obviously, if that is real, Sea of Thieves is not very good as a game.
Yeah.
In NASCAR, peanuts in a shell are a bad omen and lead to death and crashes.
In NASCAR?
In NASCAR. That might give you a hint to the country it's from.
Is it America? And is it one that they really believe is true? Go on, true.
Real, okay. Pointing at a rainbow will incur the wrath of gods.
Well, my boy pointed at a rainbow the other day and hasn't incurred any wrath from gods, so we know that's going to happen. I think you made that up.
Okay, you think that's fake? And painting your bedroom purple will lead to divorce. So stupid.
True. Everyone quick go out and buy some blue purple paint.
Okay.
Let me guess, they're all real ones. You didn't make any.
Avoid sleeping with your head to the north is indeed real. So you got that one correct. So 1 point for Robert.
Confident that I've got.
And that came from Japan.
Okay.
An owl in your house brings death. Now you've said that's fake and it's real. Okay. And that's from Italy.
Okay.
So you're still on 1 point. Knitting outside can prolong winter. You said it was real and it is real. Okay. Iceland.
Right.
So that's 2 points you're on. Cracking an egg while laughing will sour the food. You've said fake, and it was fake. That came straight from my brain. So well done. You're on three. Naming your firstborn child before birth will make them meek, you said was real. That came from my brain.
It did.
And that's because I wanted to use the word meek because I thought that would trick you. So 0 points for that one. Don't play with yo-yos as they will cause drought. You said was fake. And that is real from Syria.
Oh, right. Okay.
The funnest place to be, apparently. Mm-hmm. Bananas on a boat will lead to fish not biting. You said real. And yes, I haven't got the origin for that one, but it's a common point that they won't even have bananas on a boat or near a dock, let alone on the boat going out to sea. And that's whether it's fishing or not. In NASCAR, peanuts in a shell are a bad omen and lead to death and crashes. You said was real. And yes, it is real. And apparently that stems from about 1937, they think, where a couple of crashes happened and they found peanut shells in either the grill of the car or in the cabin of the car. And it's just led to apparently NASCAR drivers believing that peanuts kill. But they've got to be in a shell. If they're not in a shell, they're fine.
Could have had mice.
It's just a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, pointing at a rainbow will incur the wrath of God. You said fake. It is real.
Oh.
And it is the Navajo.
Oh, okay.
So that kind of makes sense when you think about that one with their belief system and everything like that as well. Because wasn't the Navajo Indians were the ones or one of the ones you shouldn't take a photo of or a flash photo? I can't quite remember.
I'm not going to even pretend to try and guess it.
Fine. Okay. And then painting your bedroom purple will lead to divorce. You said that was real and that was fake from my brain.
Yeah.
So you scored 6 out of 10.
That's not bad, is it?
That's probably one of your better quiz scores for one of my shit quizzes.
Oh, your quizzes aren't shit.
That was good fun, actually. Yeah. It was so stupid fun looking at bad luck going, I'm going to go and take my yo-yo out.
In short, do I think bad luck is real? No.
Absolutely.
But I don't like opening crisps upside down.
Well, I'll just open a bag later and I'll just prove you wrong again.
The cards are shuffled. Mysticism fills the air. What will the tarot cards reveal to Tom and Rob?
Keeping with our spooky, supernatural-based episode, I realised you hadn't read my tarot.
Oh gosh, it's the tarot time, yeah.
It
no,
is
I haven't.
Tarot time. So I'd like you to read my tarot, please.
So, people who aren't familiar, who haven't listened to us since last
Halloween.
We had a special where I had an interview with a lovely lady from America who we got through the Upon a Cthulhu Discord. So we met her, called Kim. And
yes.
She taught me how to read tarot.
Video is on our YouTube channel. You can go and see Rob having his lesson with Kim.
Yep. And then we had a very successful reading of Karen via the internet.
We have. Has Adam proposed yet? Because wasn't that meant to happen based on the tarot?
Yeah, but I didn't give a time frame.
Ah, fair enough. Okay, Adam, you're saved for now.
Well, they do a podcast together now, so that's kind of like marriage.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like I'm married to you every day.
Well, that's it. Now, that was the last time I did a reading.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
So
I thought you'd make
October.
A little...
We're now in July, so someone do the maths.
That's a long time.
That's how many months ago that was. So
9 months.
I had to give myself a little bit of a watch of my own video, which is always awkward. And I do have a little cheat sheet website up. So anybody that is really into tarot and stuff, I'm very sorry. This is going to be a bit slow because I need to kind of look at my cheat sheet and stuff. So do forgive me. I'm not.
And obviously anyone that's also knows anything about tarot, be aware we're doing a 3-card draw, not a 5-card draw.
I'm only doing 3s, yeah. I'm going to do 3 for you, and I'm going to do 3 for Jem. And if anybody else meets me along the way, might take them with us on our next little outing, which we'll talk about next time.
Good idea.
Once I've had a bit more practice and see if the people that we're with want to do it. I'll do 3s then, and then maybe I'll do my first ever 5th afterwards, because I do know how to do it. It's just a...
It's time and being confident behind it.
Yeah, there's a bit, it's confident in, I don't want to upset people. You've got to be able to tell a story.
Yes.
Because that's what it is, because all the cards can mean something, but they've all got multiple meanings, and then it's kind of tying them together and making the story.
Okay, well, this is by no means us ripping the piss.
Oh, absolutely not.
So please don't be offended by this or think we are doing this just to have a piss take. Yes, neither of us strictly believe in tarot, but at the same time, we're not doing this and on purpose have set it up to be a complete failure or for something funny to happen. We are following the instructions that Kim gave us, and we're doing it for the reason that we are intrigued by this sort of thing.
Yeah, we like this stuff. So what we're going to do is I'd like you to say your question or whatever you want to find out loud, not in your head, because it's going to help me as a beginner to help make the story. So you got to be asking a question. You got to be something you want to know. That's the point of it.
Well, I've got one we were talking about earlier. And yes, it is very self-indulgent.
So before you say it, I want you to say it as you cut this deck.
Right.
So I spent 10 minutes shuffling this before I came.
Oh,
blimey.
So
this has been
good.
Proper. I was watching Digitizer.
Nice.
And shuffling this. So
excellent.
Little,
okay, so I'm going to
just reach
lean
over, to me.
over.
And as I cut it, I'm going to say, will the variety show be popular?
Okay, thank you. Take that back. Thank you. Right.
So as I say, it's a bit self-indulgent for the podcast, but let's see what story or what the cards read
towards. I think we're going to have to kind of really aim it at you specifically.
Oh, okay.
So it's whether it's kind of your interactions with the variety show to make it popular, I think, is the better way of doing it, if that makes sense.
Okay,
but we'll
no,
see.
That makes sense.
So we can draw three cards. First one we draw is the present, how things are right now. And okay. Then I'm going to place one to your left, which would be the past, and one to your right, which would be the future. You don't have to touch these cards. I'm just going to place them.
Fine.
And I'm going to kind of look at them as we go. You can cut the dead air.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I will do some editing.
So, the present, we have 10 of Swords.
Okay, so for those that obviously can't see, because this is an audio format, we have a person laying on the floor with 10 silver swords embedded from their throat down to their groin through their body. So obviously it doesn't feel like a great card to draw straight out.
I don't think, don't worry about the pictures. I chose these tarot cards. Kim said you should choose tarot cards that speak to you and their imagery. Well, I chose these because they're shiny.
Hologram cards. So yeah. Sticker album, Panini hologram stickers will give you an idea of what these look like. And they are gorgeous.
Wow. Okay. So let's see how the other ones are. First, what I'm going to do, okay. I'm going to copy this into another sheet so I can look at it all together.
Feeling a little concerned now that I'm not getting an answer straight out. So that's either means the other cards are going to play into it and make it really bad.
I think they're going to decide whether I'm choosing the negative of this or the positive of this.
Oh, okay. So that's something you can do, isn't it? It's based on the story you want to tell.
Yeah.
So not necessarily the cards are actually reading the future. It's based on what you are going to form as the reading, I guess.
Yeah,
and it's
well,
like we said, isn't it? Sometimes people walk away and this is a way that you can give a coping mechanism or give some sort of relief to someone that might be going through a bad time, but at the same time also give people a different way of thinking about something that they are obviously questioning in their life.
This is a very good one for a conversation we had off air before the show began.
Right.
This is a very good one.
Okay.
So if you do believe in this stuff, this is a very good card that came out for, as I said, how you feel in relation to the variety show and your interactions with it specifically. Because
it's
your reading, not the show's reading.
No, of course.
Yeah? So this is the... So we're going to do the past card now. Now, I did shuffle these for 10 minutes. This is the 9 of Swords.
Okay, that's just creepy.
I did a real good shuffling because Kim told me I had to do a real good shuffle, and I did. Do a real good shot.
Okay, so that's quite creepy that we now have 9, 10, especially with 9 being in the past.
Now, if another sword card comes out, that's going to be very interesting because that would imply there was no shuffling done when there was. So we've got the past of 9 of Swords and we've got the present
of the 10 of Swords.
It's another sword card.
Okay.
And the future is the 3 of Swords.
Okay, oh, I like the 3 of Swords design.
I can tell you, I guarantee, like I said last time, I really, really shuffled these a lot. 10 minutes, I think, was a pretty good
shuffle. And I 100% believe that you did as well. I know that you wouldn't, like we've said at the beginning of this, we're not messing about with this. It's not being done as a spoof, a skit, whatever you want to call it. It's genuinely something that interests us. And when you see it play out, it is interesting trying to work out what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. So, the present card. I'm going to base this on the conversation we had before. I think it can represent multiple things. But really, there's a... It's, some of them might sound harsh, but I'm not meaning them harsh.
Okay.
Harsh. Like, there's a failure here in this card.
Right.
Or like a ruin, dead end. Betrayal's not the right word. Definitely not the right word. But definitely, I think that you feel the podcast itself needs to more to it, which aligns quite well with you doing a lot of changes over the last few episodes.
It does, actually, yes.
To improve. So you didn't think specifically the show was failing, but you thought, it was failing to live up to how you wanted it to. Does that make sense?
At that point of time. And that 100% fits in with what we were talking about. And I'll be absolutely transparent. We would love more listeners. Yeah. And I would love the show to get a garnering of appreciation around the world or even just in the UK would be lovely. Yeah. And as much as the old episodes, they have very funny moments in them, especially things like the Ironic episode where I rewrite the song Ironic, or any of our last, some of the old episodes have some really fantastic funny moments in it. They felt disjointed. In the past five, we've put so much more work into them, which is starting to show an improvement on numbers as well. So yeah, right now, with what I chat about, I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. That's an interesting look
at
it.
The flip side of this is the word improvement, which really? Is a really interesting one to place there, because yeah, right now you are working on doing what you can do to improve the show, and I think that is a very good card to have there.
And like we said in the last episode about being skeptics, it's things like this that sometimes make you rethink your position. Not necessarily that I'm not going to suddenly become a skeptic and believe this, but it is very funny how you spent 10 minutes shuffling that deck and the card, or the card's definition, or the story that the card is designed to talk about fits very much in. I could have chosen any question, but I chose that question. It's just odd that it fits so nicely.
Yeah. Past. So I think some good points maybe for this. Again, I'm going to aim them more towards you specifically with the stuff you've done previously with this. There was a lot of, I think there's, you do have some negativity to some of your other stuff that you've done in your past.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
I think that's a fair one to say. Despair, maybe not the right word. Isolation's a good one for you, I think, because you really wanted to do something and you, this is no offense to anybody else that you've done anything with, it never was going the way you wanted, and you felt like you were the only person on your own wanting this to work. So you were isolated in your own need for it to do better. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's beyond fair. I think that's absolute on the nail.
And another flip side of that, learning to cope. So you were learning to, at the time, you were learning to cope with that. Maybe you're the only one that cared about it. Do you think that's...
Oh, not necessarily I was the only one that cared about it doing well, because I know any of the previous projects, we've all wanted it to do well. But I think I had to learn to cope with accepting that things weren't going to change and that would be how it would be. And then also cope with the idea of maybe I do need to just chop it off and start again with a different project. So no, I agree with what you're saying there.
Do you think that it affected your mental health in any way?
Oh, 100%.
Because that's what is on there. So, I mean, we can. I'm happy to do five, actually, for this.
No, we're in a bit of a flow, because I'm aware of time and how this episode may spiral out of control. So let's stick with three.
Now, the future. What does the future hold? This isn't technically a particularly good one.
Okay, so this is the three swords
so
again.
You can take this in two ways. You are either going to, well, the good or the bad.
We'll do both, and let's just do the bad first, then
so
go
the
to
bad,
the good.
I would, so if we're going to twist this the bad way, there's heartbreak, there's sadness, there's sorrow, there's trauma, and there's tears. So that could imply that it doesn't go how you want, and the show doesn't get the traction that you want, doesn't...
So I think I'm going to, as much as I understand that negativity, and that's what the card obviously means, we're not going to change the meaning of it.
Well, there's the good side to it too.
I would choose to avoid going that route, because we've always said from day one of this show is we're not doing it for the number. Now, even if it doesn't grow, I'm going to still do it, because A, you're my best friend and I absolutely love doing this with you, and B, we have so much fun doing it anyway.
And that's where I actually think the good side of this card is better for you, because it's healing and it's forgiveness. And I think you are just need to forgive yourself for all the other things that you did previously. Heal from the kind of pressure you put on yourself before, and just moving on and just going with the flow. And I think that is what that's telling you more than the bad things. I think that's just telling you, learn from these two.
Yep.
Heal and forgive yourself and just keep going.
Fair enough.
And I think that is what your reading is.
I got to say, I'm impressed. I was very impressed when you did Karen's reading. I was very impressed with the readings you did with Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly, I don't know how I feel about this, because it's obviously very creepy how that has worked out, and actually how well it fit with A, the question, B, what we were talking about, what we talked about for the past few weeks. So part of me's like, is there something weirdly strange going on here?
Yeah.
But to be the skeptic, you know me. We're close friends. We chat every single day. And as the person doing the reading, it's very easy for you to focus on the bits that you know about what's going on anyway, and choosing those bits. Now, if this had been a blind reading by someone I'd not known, and they hadn't done any research on me, what would they have gone back with about the podcast in that case?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, well, people can read you without you saying the question out loud. So, as Kim said to me, is that, you know, really the skeptics are the ones who don't tell you what their question
is. Yes.
They want you to just read them cold.
Okay. So, an idea for a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
I will do a crash course in learning tarot, i.e. I will watch your video a few times.
Yeah.
And I think what we do, we get one of our studio members to come onto Riverside. You do a reading. Well, you draw the cards. You do the reading based on those cards. Then I do a reading on those cards.
Yeah.
And then we see what we both said. Did the reading go the same way? Did we pick out the same things? I'd be intrigued to see what happens with that.
I would like us to do it to Ross.
Okay.
Not because I don't want to do it to anybody else.
Yeah.
But he's the one we know the least out of Karen, Adam, Simon, Ross, and Thomas. Out of those guys, they're the ones, he's probably the one we know the least.
Okay, I think we could organise something there where...
he wants to do it.
if he wants to do it, what we'll do, we'll get the cards drawn, and then in silence we'll write out our reading, and then do it back to, and read them both at the same time. So you read your one on card one, I then read mine on card one, and we see where it goes with that. I think that could be a fun experiment to do.
Yeah, cool.
Ghost hunting. What happens? Where do you go? And strange things in the dark. All of these things answered now.
Okay, so we are talking ghosts, and we are talking ghost hunting, because on Saturday, we went to a ghost hunt. Was it what you expected?
Yes and no. As I've kind of briefly said, I've been on something similar before, but that was like a proper... big, like, massive group of people doing it, and it was just a complete joke. Whereas this was much better.
This was a much smaller group. Now, those of you that listened last week will be well aware that we talked about being open skeptics. And what we kind of concluded with was that we aren't closed to the idea that these things could exist, or weird things happen and that they don't have an explanation. But what we said was you would really need to serve it up on a platter with beyond good evidence for us to believe it.
Yeah.
And I feel that after our little trip away on Saturday, that's not budged for me. There's no, a couple of weird things happened, but not enough for me to go, I'm going to start believing.
Yeah.
Enough happened to make me interested in going ghost hunting again and looking at ghost hunting kit and seeing, could we find something weird?
Mm.
I kind of liked that idea. I thought, yeah, you know what? I had a lot of fun, and whether or not I believe it, I don't really care. I enjoyed having a go at doing it.
Yeah.
So, right, let's just very, very quickly recap. So what did we do? On Saturday, we went to Peterborough Museum, which is allegedly a very haunted place. Now, we were incredibly lucky, and I do mean lucky, and I feel lucky for it as well. We were invited by Paul Gannon. You'll know him from Cheap Show, but this was kind of a little side project that he was doing for himself. And Paul organised everything. He organised us going to Peterborough Museum. He organised us getting in there. He organised a ghost hunt person to help us, who was Gemma, and she was absolutely fantastic. And then we also want to extend our thanks to all the other people that were there. Now, Rob said it was a small group. We had Paul Rose, aka Mr. Biffo. We had Sanya. We had Pseudo Sapien. We had Stuart Ashens. We had Ryan Livermore. And just as a group, we felt very accepted and taken under the wing of them. So we were very appreciative, and it was a very exciting day for us. Excluding whether it was what you expected, did you have fun?
I had a blast. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
Well, just before we go deep diving into it, and by the way, if you're listening to on the podcast, us talking about this, in a couple of weeks after this release, maybe sooner, it depends if I get time, we are recording this on camera now, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be chopping in scenes and video footage from the night, because what we discovered is it's very hard to film in the pitch black.
Yeah.
And it's actually very hard to film and get involved in a ghost hunt when you've only got 45 minutes or an hour in each section. We actually found ourselves wanting to do the ghost hunt more than create content.
Yeah, we did.
Which shows you actually how deep and involved we got into it. It was good. But putting that to one side, yeah, go and watch it on YouTube when it comes out, and you can see the footage. There's some footage of it's already gone up on Twitter. Me in a fake coffin, and
yeah,
I haven't posted our ghostly experience, but we'll talk about that in a bit.
Biffo's video will be up way before
BFO's
this.
Video is coming up. Absolutely go and watch that. It's on the Digitizer channel. And it's going to be fantastic. No matter what we do, this is going to be way better than ours.
Be way better than us.
But yeah, absolutely go and watch that. But excluding everything that happened or didn't happen, what was your favourite part of the night?
Oh, that's a good question. The bit... it was really interesting when it was you, Pseudo Sapien, and myself... and myself in the kind of kids' room. And that's what I'm calling it, because as we later found out, that was the room that supposedly had the child haunting it. Because that's where all of our activity happened. I say activity.
Well,
air quotes for the people listening.
Activity. That's where, for the people that are watching, bunny quotes.
Two very specific things happened to us in that room. But what I also enjoyed, it sounds weird to say it now, I enjoyed when we did the game with the cards.
That was really good.
As I was not expecting to feel how I felt.
No, I wasn't. And as Paul said, this isn't necessarily, or it wasn't necessarily a supernatural thing, more a human condition and psychological thing instead.
Yeah, my brain failed me on that. I think we'll get to that eventually. But
yeah, we will get to that. We'll go through the night as it happens. Because
he did that last. He did that last.
Yeah, he did that. Yeah. And I think what we should do is we should go through the evening as the evening panned out. So we drove up to Peterborough and we met everyone there. And yeah, it was just a really nice welcome. The weather wasn't too bad. We managed to find a parking space right next to the museum. And we thought we'd go for a wander around Peterborough.
Yeah.
So we thought,
I forgot.
We'll go for dinner.
I forgot already what happened. So we were commenting, Sue and I were commenting on how nice the area was. And
it had shops, it had restaurants, it had a mix of both.
Beautiful little town we were in, weren't we?
Yes, it had the medieval kind of town square from the look of it. It was really charming.
And we all made a similar comment. Similar to like, you don't feel like you're going to get knifed here.
Yes. So
all three of us from all the different places that we're from, we all had a different, kind of, we all felt a little bit different here. So we're like, oh, and then we saw where the big cathedral is. It's a cathedral.
Yeah, it was the cathedral.
There was
it had
really
tentacles.
Cool tentacles they put on it. We're coming over. So we've got some photos that I think we have been on Twitter already. But
yeah, and again, if we're watching the video, you'll be seeing that on screen as we talk.
And, you know, making jokes about that. And then we went to Burger King.
We did go to Burger King, which is extortionately expensive now.
We were in there less than 10 minutes.
Oh, easily under 10 minutes.
And when we come out, carnage.
So from going to this, from this quaint little town that was nice and quiet, we stepped out of Burger King and we nearly get run over by a police car on Blues and Twos, driving through the pedestrianised precinct.
Yeah.
And then there's just this swathe of hundreds of people all holding their phones up in the air.
Yeah,
recording and on TikTok Live and on anything else that they could, running in one direction.
Because we kind of didn't really, the thing is, we didn't really notice that. For what we noticed first was a police car, Blues and Twos, flying down the pedestrianised yes. town centre. And we're like, there's a police car going.
And then all of a sudden, these people jumping out, going, he's over there, in the hoodie, they're over there, go, go, get them, they're in the hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're really screaming at these poor coppers to, like, get out and go get these people in a hoodie.
Yeah, there's, like, three youths.
Three youths
all in black with their hoods up, balaclavas. And, yeah, they'd obviously done something. We didn't ask anybody, we just thought, this is nuts.
This is just, we have no idea what's going on. The more people are running past us,
yeah.
and then another police car is coming down towards us, and it's just at that point we thought, oh, we were wrong, weren't we?
Yes, suddenly I don't feel quite safe. And then when we got back to the museum, we told Biffo, and he was like, yeah, we got it all on camera.
Yeah, yeah, so Biffo and Sanya had been recording at the cathedral, which you'll see in their video, and yeah, they caught it all as well. They just walked down and went, what the hell is going on?
I think it'd be good to watch their video to know what happened, because we don't know what happened.
No, we presume it was some sort of fight, and we didn't see anyone with guns and stuff, so I don't think there was any weapons involved, so the police didn't turn up armed, so I think it was just a punch-up. But
that was when he did tell us it was like the second worst place to live.
Second worst place to live in the UK, apparently. Yeah.
And we're like, oh, but we thought this place was lovely. Until that
moment.
Oh,
dear.
But that's got nothing to do with ghosts.
But that was nothing to do with the ghost hunting, no. So what we then did was we kind of waited for Paul and Gemma to turn up, and we got into the museum, and Gemma did a fantastic job of then briefing us about the evening and the equipment that they brought with them. So we had thermal cameras, we had infrared thermometers, we had Gauss meters, which are the EMF meters, we had the REM pod, which is one of these weird kind of cylindrical devices with an aerial, and if anything goes near it, it starts screaming. Mm-hmm. And the particular one we got to play with as well, if the temperature changed, it would show a different coloured light and all sorts of things. Spoiler, nothing happened to it.
It didn't make a noise. And we put it next to the fox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, next
the
to
the overly touched fox.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a much. Jesus, there's so much to talk about. There was the laser grids.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the laser tripwire thing, yeah.
The laser, laser tripwire, but no, we were saying the laser
pen. Oh, yeah, the laser grid. Pen, yeah.
They had the spirit box, I think they called it, didn't it? Which that is basically an FM thing, radio that's been set up just to skip channel every few milliseconds.
Everyone and hated that.
What I really enjoyed was Gemma saying, I really like this, and Paul going, I really hate it. And then all of us,
we all tried
our group of three anyway, using it at the top of the stairs that were meant to be a hotspot, and just within like 60 seconds going, I hate this too.
Well, as soon as I said that, they hated it. And I was like, well, I've got to try it. And I think we managed barely a minute. And I was like, I turned off and went, I hate this. And Sue was like, yeah, thanks. They hated it too.
So after we had them the debrief, because then Paul did his little bit of a debrief, which was just, look, I'm going to give you 45 minutes in each area. We picked out from a hat which area we'd start in, and then we'd be rotating around. And the idea was to take some gear with you, have a go at using it, and although it seemed very silly, or it may seem silly to you, get really stuck into it, which I didn't think I wouldn't. I don't know about you, but actually I did get really into it. So standing in the dark saying, if there is anyone here, make yourself known, that side of it. And yet you do feel silly.
That was the only time I felt silly, when I was doing that too, when I was asking an empty room to speak to me. That I was like, and I was asking the kid to play with the ball. There was a glow-in-the-dark ball we had as well that you're supposed to put down because the kid wanted to play, supposedly. And they'd cut the top and the bottom off of it
so it wouldn't roll around.
So like the aircon, which was going all the time.
Yes.
So to put that in there, cold spots, that aircon in every single room was running.
You say that, but when we come to talking about the weird things that happened, that corridor did not have aircon.
No, you're right. But every other room did.
Every other room did, yes.
So I think any other room, when you're talking about cold spots, is quite difficult because the aircon was running.
True. We then had a tour, didn't we, where we all followed Paul and Gemma around and they showed us all the floors, the Victorian and the War Operating Theatre, because the Peterborough Museum was from the 1600s, I think it was initially built, and then in the war it was used for treating wounded soldiers. It had vaults down below, which were used as a morgue. And then each floor is just the museum. So the first floor had kind of prehistoric fossils, wildlife, and day-to-day kind of medieval living. Then the next floor up had things about the Napoleonic War and the prison camp, and it had modern living, didn't it, with kind of the kitchen set up and the modern toys and stuff in there. And on that floor there was a corridor and a set of stairs which was meant to also be a hot spot, and we all got to spend time in them. Then obviously then we went down to the vault, and as creepy as the vault was, because it was set up when it had got a air raid shelter in it and it had been set up as a escape room, so there were fake coffins in there. That was the room we felt the most comfortable in. It just didn't feel weird at all down there. Yet the first floor, which is where we started, I can't describe the weird feeling I had being up there. And I don't, still to this day, I have no idea what was causing me to feel weird.
I don't know if it's, you'd think the weirdness would come after doing all the other rooms and building up to it and it being later in the day. But at this point in time, what? It was 7:30, 8:00?
It was about 8:00, I reckon.
So it's not late, still light outside.
We've got the excitement of, we're actually doing this.
Yeah, we're actually here. We've been talking about it for weeks. It had been arranged.
It had been, yeah.
So, yeah, and then I had the same feeling. Something about that, well, really that particular corner where we were sat on these tiny little kids' chairs.
Yeah, so for anyone who's ever been to Peterborough Museum, on the first floor, as you turn left, there's
is it a
whale fossil or is it
there's
a dolphin?
Some kind of skeleton,
there's some sort
some
of
whale.
Fish creature or mammal in a case. Mm-hmm. And in the far corner, in the left corner, in the right corner is the gents. In the left corner is a table where kids can kind of do drawing or writing, and there's some kids' chairs. And this was the room we later found out was the hotspot for the little girl ghost, which had kind of been alluded to when they said, if you're on the first floor, we think you should take the ball with you.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave that one away. But then round it was the wildlife room, wasn't it? With Mr. Dead Fox.
The fox that you could stroke, yeah.
So there's a cabinet full of taxidermied animals. Hedgehog, foxes, heron, all sorts of things. But then there's this little kind of pedestal with a taxidermy fox in it. And a hole in the middle, not the fox, but that hole in the pedestal that you can put in your hand and stroke the fox.
Yeah.
And it has gone bald from where it's been stroked so much.
Everyone commented on it, yeah.
It's just creepy. Really creepy.
So that's where I put the thing, the
you
touching
did, you
machine.
Put the REM pod there. And disappointing, nothing happened with the REM pod. So we got no weird EMF noise on it. We got no noise from it, no hot spots, cold spots, nothing at all.
Mm.
But we got two weird incidents in that room.
Yes.
Next to it. The one that's got the skeleton, the fossil, whatever it is. The first one, we heard creaking. And the more I think about it, I think you're absolutely right. It probably was the floorboard settling. Because Pseudo had been stood over there. And then they'd come over to us. And that's when we heard it. So I reckon you're right. I think that was just floorboards, heat, everything like that.
But the reason I got up is because Suda was using the thermal camera and they were aiming it at the doorway.
Yes.
And they were saying to me that it was acting up. And I brought the thermal camera. It's my work one. So I was like, okay, we'll pass it here.
Yeah.
And
so
I'll have
everywhere
a look at it.
Else on the thermal image was dark blue with just our heat signatures.
Yeah.
But this little strip of the ground where they were and they were kind of moving all around, it was green.
Mm.
And I think was your conclusion was because there's a really bright green light.
So
up there.
The security lights, the green security lights, were blasting something that was screwing up the camera. And it happened in every single room.
Where
but it was literally like hitting a wall. The camera is almost like, it was almost like going from one face to the next. Instantly, the camera suddenly would just all be green.
And then what later they found out was, if you do stand there with it, eventually it suddenly focuses and it's fine.
You can wait.
So I think it's just to do with the environmentals on that one. Yeah. And I don't know, scientists will be able to help me on this one. If you're into science, I'm pretty sure green and red are the ones that kind of cancel each other out. So if you look at something green through a red filter, it's black.
Well,
so I would wonder if how the infrared camera, because that's how it's doing the thermal scan, I'm wondering if the green light interferes with that.
I would change it to the grayscale version when it was doing that.
Yes.
You can have white hot or black hot, and doing that cancelled that weird anomaly out. It didn't make all the other things come out as clear, but you were way more clear seeing you, myself, or Sudo.
Yeah.
And then also the heat reflections weren't quite so bad on it. It wasn't picking them up so well. But what it was it, they were aiming it towards the door, so I took it and went and stood in the door, didn't I?
Yeah, you went and stood
with
in the doorway.
With my back to you guys.
And as you stood in the door, what happened?
All the lights above me turned off and on again.
Yeah. Which was really weird.
So all of them, only the ones above me. So the one fire exit light and the two security lights either side of it.
Yeah, just went off. Now, we're attributing it to maybe it was a timer thing. Yeah.
Well, there's two things that happen. Either the ghost is being mean to me.
Oh, it must be 9:30 because we said it was bang on 9:30, didn't we?
The very first reaction I had was check my watch. See what the time was.
Yeah.
And it was exactly 9:30. So that says to me, time clock, power surge, exactly 9:30. Now, the only way we can confirm that is we need someone else to be there at 9:30 on another day.
And to see what happens,
Because I work in electrics and things like that can just happen. They can just happen. It's all so coincidental I happen to be stood there and they go off. But it was just what makes it weird for somebody who would believe in ghosts. I could see other security lights in front of me and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
I could tell the light behind me
went off and went back on again.
And you guys saw it. So.
Well, we saw it. And then Paul later that evening, Paul Gannon, this is not Mr. Biffo. In fact, whenever we talk about Paul, we're talking about Paul Gannon, okay?
Yeah.
He said a light near him on the bottom floor also flashed on and off.
At the similar time.
So, well, no, just full stop. So we're wondering if the electrical system to the security system is maybe a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
As it will be on its own circuit, because obviously it needs to be protected from the rest of the electronics, because you need it to stay working during an emergency. Mm. So we kind of ruled that one out as that. The one we can't explain, and for the people watching on YouTube, you're going to see the whole video now, is the little girl room yet again. Now, towards the end of our 45 minutes, Rob was sat contemplating life near the dead
fox. I was in the taxidermy room with all my friends.
Sudo was walking around with the infrared camera and the infrared thermometer even. And I went for a wander on my own into the blue fossil room. And I leant down with my camera, and it's all on camera, so to say you're watching it, you will be able to see it. I lean down to the ball and I say, if you'd like to come and play with the ball, blah, 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 it's here. Or if you want to make yourself known, come here. And now this room is pitch black at this point. And nothing happened. But that's not the end of the story. Don't worry.
The end.
Because
thanks for coming.
I then stood up because I heard Sudo walking behind me. So I turn round and they then nod their head back behind me and go, that light just came on. And I turn around with the camera and that very corner light where we'd been sitting earlier, mm-hmm, one single light bulb was switched on.
One down light was on.
So I don't know if it was possible. It's like the floodlight spotlights above me. I didn't know, can you just turn that light on its own? And even if you could, why did it suddenly come on at that point?
So there's lots of things we can think about for this. So that room only had two of those lights, and it was two corners of that end.
Yes.
Now, they looked like PIR/photocell controlled lights. Looking at it, I'm familiar with them. It had the red light inside, some kind of security light. Now, if it was motion sensed, it should have set us off for a long time before that.
Because we'd been walking backwards and forwards for half an hour at that point.
I started thinking, is it a photocell? So I shone my torch on both of them.
Yep.
Did not set it off.
It didn't set it off. And I would point out as well, we went back later that evening and it was switched off again. And we tried to trigger it by shining the torch in it. We tried walking in that room around because you went for a Jimmy Riddle, and it didn't come back on.
I asked Biffo and Sanya, and they said things happened to them in that room, but I couldn't get them to say. I don't remember if I then asked them, because we had to wait before we told everybody what happened in each room, so we were an effective one.
So,
but they had done that, but they wouldn't say at the time if that light had come on or was on, but we checked it later and it wasn't on.
It was on maximum power. It wasn't just like it was drawing a little bit of ampage and it was dull. It was full brightness illuminating that entire area.
So what do I think that was? I still think it's just it's got to be two things. Or maybe more, but it's because it's not a ghost. So it's not a ghost. The people in the security room could easily have control of every single lights and turn it on.
Funny enough, hope they weren't, when I showed Jem the video, she said, I still wouldn't trust it knowing that security were there.
That's the thing. This goes back to what I said in our last episode. There's too many variables or things that you don't know that could be affecting it. Now, I'm sure they didn't have anything, but they were in the security room with all the security cameras.
Yeah.
They see you talking to a bull. Let's mess around with them and turn that light on. Who's going to know? Because it's quite likely that they have the system in front of them and can turn
every single light. Absolutely. It's all digital now, isn't it? Let's face it. It's all programmed in.
So I can do that in people's houses. So there's no reason why they couldn't do it in a museum. But also it could be that I am right in that it is a PR/photocell and it's just faulty. And so coincidental.
That it just happened.
There talking about it, it comes on. I think I would have been even more kind of jumped by it had we all still been sat there.
Now.
And it did it above us.
The far outreach thing that dawned on me would be, and I would think it's very unlikely, would be some sort of noise system. Because I announced myself really quite loudly when I was talking to the ghost,
you're right.
Versus us talking quietly to each other, did I speak loud enough to trigger some sort of alarm system? So, like in some of the fire systems that close doors, if it hears a fire bell or a fire klaxon going off, it triggers the fire doors to close. Was there something in there that says, oh, there's a high level of noise, people are in here, I better turn the light on?
I mean, the only other thing, if it is a ghost, you can think that, well, you've asked the child to play with you. That was the play corner.
Yeah,
it's
well,
turned the lights on in the play corner and invited you to play.
If you're going to go down for the ghost side of things, that's what you would say, isn't it?
That's what you'd say if you believed that.
Yeah, fair enough. So the only other odd experience we had was one that I had and none of you were around for.
We weren't there.
So you were sat at the top of the scary stairs. Mm-hmm. And the reason they were scary, they weren't scary. They just felt odd. There was something that felt very odd in that area.
I can tell you exactly what it is because Sudo and I said the same thing and it is true. That's supposedly where a person fell down because they felt they got pushed.
The maid, yeah.
But it's sloped. The floor at the top is sloped towards the stairs.
Yeah.
Everything there is sloped. And when you do stand in it, it does feel a bit oppressive because you're leaning forward.
Oh, because me, Ryan, and everyone had said that they felt uncomfortable on the main stairs.
But I'm pretty sure that somebody fell down because they felt pushed on the back stairs, and that really lines up with how it felt.
Yeah, fair
when you
enough.
Stood there because you felt uncomfortable.
It was a tall room, which always feels particularly weird when it's short and narrow on the width
and super
but
tall.
But super tall. But you're right, there was a slight slope to it. Anyway, you were sat on those stairs. I was sat on the other side of the door, and we had this long corridor. And the long and the short of it is, furthest end, lights dimmed and came back on. Now, that could have just been anything. That could have been a different circuit down that end. What was weird, I had the infrared thermometer. I took the temperature my end, 18.6. I went all the way down to the furthest end, 17.0. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes later, not even that, Sudo and you appear. And I said, I want to test something. And that's on camera, funny enough. The rest of it isn't, but this next bit is. I then take the reading up by us, and it's 20 degrees, and a reading down at the furthest point, and that's 20 degrees.
Yeah.
And I did multiple readings both times, and a random cold spot appeared. Now, that could just be a breeze, let's face it. But with
there's
the
a lot
dimming
of doors.
Light...
There was a lot of doors.
Yeah.
Don't know what's on the other side of them. There's a window there.
Yeah. And then obviously we went down to the vault, which nothing happened.
That was the best room if you wanted to feel comfortable and safe.
I perfectly mapped out where we would be based on my footstep stride. Yeah. I couldn't have got that better.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we all kind of met up, explained what had happened. We did the psychological game, which very briefly what it was, two decks of card, one with us, and then one at the furthest point of the museum, and one person had to go and split the cards, choose a random card, and then go and get the matching card from the other deck on their own in the dark.
I went first.
And Rob went first, then me, then Ryan, and then Biffo, and all of us felt unnerved.
Yeah, I got all the way there, but I stopped on the stairs on the way there because I was like, I can't see anything. I couldn't see a single thing. I was like, I need, and I couldn't figure out how
the gimbal
to,
that
the
I'd
little,
given you,
the
yeah.
light on the top. And I know you'd show me, it's a button on top. I know
yeah.
that. But at the time I was like, how do I can't figure this out. And so I got there fine.
Yeah.
Because I was just too busy worrying about not being able to see anything to even think about ghosts or whatever. And then I got into the staircase. And I put the gimbal down because I couldn't hold it and find it. And my card was right at the bottom. It was the last card. Because he hadn't really shuffled the ones at the stairs, but he'd moved the top card to the bottom. And that was mine. I think I was the ace of diamonds. So he shuffled the ones in the room, but he didn't shuffle the other card, but somehow I'd moved that card to the bottom.
Yep.
So there was, eventually got it. And I picked up and the gimbal was all over the place. So I don't know if you've watched the footage.
Not yet.
If you haven't watched it, but you'll hear if it gets played now. Me, I think, I'm pretty sure all the way back going, TJ's going to kill me. I've broken his gimbal. I think he's going to kill me. Could not figure out until it was going all over the place. So I was getting a bit flustered by that. But then it was when I got into the hallway, so not the long hallway at the stairs, the next bit, and you've got those two bits there and then the stairwells in front of you. Something changed instantly. Suddenly, I could feel my heart beating in my chest. And by the time I got down the stairs, just a really weird feeling all the way down. My heart was, could literally feel my heart pumping.
Yep.
And I sat down.
And you said you've got the log of this from your watch.
Yeah, I think I might see if I can pull up and record it. My resting heart rate's 55. By the time I sat down, it was 81. And that's a big jump for me. 81's really high for me.
And you hadn't run either.
And
you,
I hadn't been running. I'm not unfit.
A steady walk.
And they, you know, they said about, you know, you just gone up loads of stairs and stuff. I was like, well, no, I didn't run. I'm quite not, I'm really fit, but I'm cardio.
Yeah, no,
I'm quite fit
absolutely.
Cardio, so I wasn't out of breath. And you know what? I didn't say this to anybody. It's the first time I'm saying it. When I sat there and you were off, my back started hurting. I felt like I was sat there funny. Like my whole body was just like, whatever
that's
you just did.
Really
did whatever.
Weird.
My body was like, and I didn't believe in any of it. So my brain failed me massively during that. Massively failed me. But no, at no point did I think I was getting chased by a ghost
well,
or something behind me. I never actually felt that. I just felt, I don't like this.
So Paul was saying it's basically a psychological experiment. And some people feel like they're being followed. Others feel like they're being watched. Others feel unnerved. And between all of us that did it, that's exactly how it felt. So, yeah, odd.
Yeah.
And that kind of took us to the end of the night. And we were allowed kind of free rein around the property. And we went finally to the operating theatre where a weird Victorian ghost appeared.
We got a Victorian ghost visitor, yeah.
Hi, Ryan. And that was it, really. Then we packed up and we drove home and we had a really good time. And I would highly suggest if you get a chance to go, do. But just be aware, we were really lucky, not just because of the people we went with, but because we were such a small group and we'd been told that this was meant to be taken seriously. There was no main characters.
And we were all skeptics.
Yeah. So there were no main, there was no one that was going to walk around and go, oh my God, I've just been possessed by one of the ghosts and my face changed. Like you said, that happened in your one.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Or suddenly someone starts speaking tongue and no one bought Ouija boards. Randomly, we're going to spell out, you're going to die tomorrow night sort of shit.
Yeah.
So actually, it was a really pleasant, fun evening. So if you get a chance to, I highly recommend having a go.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I know that there might be another one planned, and hopefully we get an invite to it, because if we do, I'm teching the tech out of that one. I am taking the Xbox Kinect with us, and I want to see if we can capture any weird things on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, thank you for watching if you're watching this on YouTube. Otherwise, for the podcast people, join us in a moment.
As we say goodbye to the spirit realm, remember I'm always watching you. Always watching.
Thank you very much for listening to another episode of the Variety Show podcast. It's been a bit of an odd one, maybe slightly longer than we were expecting, but it's been a lot of fun. As always, thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you for having me.
Well,
thank you.
I have you every week.
More if you could.
Oh, 52 times a year is enough for me.
And thank you very much to you too.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone that listens. Genuinely, those numbers, whatever they end up being, mean a huge amount to us. Now, if you would like to find out more about the Channel 84 podcast network, as it is, Studio Channel 84, then head over to channel84.co.uk and you can find Who Takes the Socks Off, Lightly Used, The Untitled Trek Show, and also the Variety Show podcast. And all our details, including social media, is there. And that includes our links for Instagram, Threads, TikTok, X, Blue Sky, you name it, our links are all there. If you would like to contact us directly, though, you can email podcasts@channel84.co.uk, which goes to both Rob and me. You can email rob@channel84.co.uk, or you can email me at tj@channel84.co.uk. Everything we do kind of goes over onto that site as well, so always go and check it out. We will get some more blog posts up at some point. If you would like to be part of the Retro Ramble kind of bonus episode, please email me and we'll arrange a walk where you can talk gaming and answer the 6 questions that I've come up with. Otherwise, there's not much else to say other than listen to the other shows on the network and we will see you soon.
Send me your Trek stuff.
Send Rob your Trek questions.
Bye. Thanks. Bye. Love you.
That was The Variety Show. Thank you for listening. The next episode will be out in 2 weeks' time.
I still cannot believe you think upside down, bad luck, reverse bad luck, whatever it's fucking called, exists.
It does. You just haven't experienced it yet. You will, mate. You will.
Oh, boo fucking who. Right, look, this bag of crisps to your right, as I knock your microphone, say, grab me that bag of crisps.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'm going to open it from the bottom.
Oh, no, for fuck's sake, Tom.
See? Nothing.
Oh, this is going to be awkward talking to Gemma.
Wasn't I just recording the podcast? Oh, hello.
I've bought something new for upstairs. Would you like me to go and put it on?
Ooh. Okay, I'll be up in a moment.
Channel 84 Network Show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.
Oh, hello there. I'm Ross, and I'm the host of Who Takes the Socks Off, a podcast answering the questions you never knew you wanted the answers for. Questions such as...
Why does NASA hate corned beef?
How the f*** does Postman Pat still have a job? Do cats just think humans are shit tigers? Does the universe end, but not in the sense of Tina from Basingstoke having a breakdown when no one comments you okay, hun, on a Facebook post about B&M running out of cut-price CN deodorant because she thinks she is the universe? As well as the question that gave this podcast its name.
Who takes the socks off amputated feet?
Join us for fun, chaos, general BS, and you may even learn a thing or two.
Tortoises, like, famously live quite a long time. Yeah, pointlessly, tortai. Though.
It's tortoise.
Tortoise, sorry.
That
tortoise.
Can't possibly be true.
That's Who Takes the Socks Off. Get new episodes in your ears and all good podcast listening platforms. Bye!